Today's shiur, beginning at the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, starts with a famous Shas sugya. The sugya is known as Gud O Ogud. The expressions themselves, are, I would say, are not common on their own, other than in the context of this well-known sugya. So what does Gud mean? Rashi suggests that the word good means kotz. Kotz, a verb, meaning establish the price, set the price. Good, you set the price, good, or I'll set the price. In a broader sense, as far as the sugya is concerned, it doesn't mean just set the price, it means you set the price and buy me out, or I'll set the price and I'll buy you out, or vice versa. The options are given to one gentleman, is giving the option to the other. Either you set the price, or I'll set the price, and thereby, either I'll buy you out, or you'll buy me out. We'll take a look at the Nosei heading before we go into the Gemara. Good, good. B'she'ein bo din chaluka. Given a piece of property or an item that, when divided, would have divided pieces, portions that are too small to benefit from. Ha'im ho'echod yochol lichbois es hasheni. Can one force the other by saying the following? Knei chelki o ani ekne chelkecha. You buy my portion or I'll buy you out. You buy me out or I'll buy you out. So we've added to the introduction on the side, Rav Yehuda, who we'll see in the Gemara, Rav Yehuda is dina the good o good. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that yes, one of the two can force the other to accept these terms, to accept the option. Either I'll buy you out or you buy me out. Rav Nachman less dina the good o good. Rav Nachman is of the opinion no, one cannot force the other to accept these options. Rather, if it's a property, she'ein bodin chaluka, they must continue holding it jointly. In the course of the sugya, as your eye scans down the Shas Ozer edition that many of you are viewing on your screens, you'll notice triangles, colored in triangles. The reason these triangles are colored in, as opposed to just making a regular triangle, because on the previous Amud, as your eye scans the area, for many who are learning this shiur from a sefer, so he has two facing pages open at the same time. That's as opposed to the screen experience, where only one Amud is appearing. But those who are learning from a sefer don't want to be confused between two unrelated series. So to create that distinction, we've chosen to color in the tops of these triangles as opposed to those that were on the previous Amud that are not related. What are these triangles going to do? You'll notice that on Amud Aleph, on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, they are in the same direction. They happen to be questions challenging Rav Yehuda's position. However, on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, for some of us it's a matter of scrolling, or for some of us a matter of turning the page, you will notice on the upper part of Yud Gimel Amud Beis a triangle positioned pointing down. Because the direction of questioning changes, it becomes a question on the other opinion on Rav Nachman. Inside the Gemara, V'loes ha-traklin v'chulei. That's a quote from the Mishnah, but we're supposed to go on in the Gemara at this point. Ein bohen kedei lozeh u kedei lozeh mahu. What would be the din if, after dividing, each one would receive a sub-minimal portion? Not enough for this to benefit from, not enough for that to benefit from. Rav Yehuda Omar, is dina the good o ogud. We'll take a look at Rashi. Rashi's found right under the diagram that's there. Is dina the good o ogud. Ze she roitze lachlok. Omer lo ze she eino roitze lachlok. The one that wants to divide can say to the one that doesn't want to. Oh, kotz li domim ukne lecho chelki. Either you set a price and buy out my portion, or ani akutz domim, or I'll set a price ve'etein lecho bechelkecho, and I will pay you and buy your portion out. She efshi b'shut foseich. I cannot maintain this partnership. I don't want to maintain partnership with you in this piece of property. So Rav Yehuda, we just read, says he can insist on that option. Rav Nachman Omar, less dina the good o akud. No, I disagree. And the brother that doesn't want to dissolve the partnership, but rather wants to maintain the property held jointly, he has the final say. Omar le Rav Ola Rav Nachman, ledidcha di amris less dina the good o akud. According to you, that they must maintain something jointly. That if one wants to maintain jointly, they must maintain it jointly. B'chor u'poshut sheniach lohem aviem eved u'behemo temeya, a firstborn and his brother, that their father left for them a slave and a horse, a behemo temeya, not something that you could conceivably divide. It's not like meat or a horse. Ketzad osin, how do they continue using this as in a joint fashion? As if it would be a case of gudah agud, we can understand. One could buy the other one out. Omar le, shani omer, I say, oved loze yoyim echad veloze shnei yomim. You have a bechor who has a double portion. So good. The slave and the horse will work for him 2 days and work for the other one day and continue their relationship in such a fashion. 2 days. For every 1 day this one gets 2 days. Continuing in the Gemara, we have this triangle, and according to our marking key, this would be a kasha that's going to be asked on Rav Yehuda. So what was Rav Yehuda's opinion? That there is a din of good o agud. We have a source that appears in many places in Shas. Mi shechetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. As you can see, this source is a frame. The Shas Ozer, the pre-marked Gemaras, mark off Tanaic sources in frames. So we have a case of someone that's a chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. He's a person that was once a slave that was held by 2 owners. One of the 2 owners granted freedom to this slave, meaning he sold out his half to the slave. Or he was meshacher his holding. So you have a fellow that's now a chatzi eved, and chatzi ben chorin, and part free. Oved es rabo yoyim echad, des atzmo yoyim echad. Divrei Beis Hillel. Beishamai Omrim, Tikantem es Rabo. That arrangement of working for himself 1 day and 1 day for his other, for the master, the other partner that still maintained holding on him, that's fine as far as the master is concerned, so he continues to have benefit from his slave. Es Atzmo lo Tikantem, but as far as this human being, this Eved, this Chatzi Eved, he's in a lurch. He doesn't have a solution. What's the problem here? The problem has to do with who is he going to marry? Lisa shivcha eno yochol. To marry a shivcha, a female slave, he can't do that because he has part ben chorin in him, part Jew. Lisa bas chorin, to marry a regular Jewess, eno yochol. He can't marry her either because he's part eved. Ibotel, for him not to marry at all, and not bring children into the world. Valo lo nivra ha'olam elo lepirya v'ribya. One of the bedrocks of the world is for procreation. One can imagine how all kinds of distorted forms of morality run up against in diametric opposition to the Torah's intent. The Torah's intent is for normal family units to arise and thereby produce offspring. And that's the whole purpose, or the whole purpose of the world is to have Pirya Viridya taking place in it. So it's the very opening of the Torah, not for naught. Shenemar, the posuk that's cited here is posuk from Yeshaya that says, Lo sohu vira'a l'sheves yitzara. Tohu, emptiness. Not for emptiness was the world created, rather for habitation it was created. Now we have a fellow that will remain empty in that sense that he can't marry anybody. Elo mitnei tikun ha'olam, koifin es raboi, v'oisin oisoi ben chorin. We force the master to see to it that he, the eved, the half-eved is freed. V'koisvin shtar achatzi domov. Now, if the master is going to lose his half in the value of the eved, we're setting him free, what about financial compensation? So we write a shtar, a contract that thereby he'll be able to collect from this now newly freed individual that value that the master had held in him. So we see him being free, we see compensation being made, which is the only fair thing. V'chazru Beis Hillel l'horos k'divrei Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel accepted Beis Shammai's ruling. What we see over here is there's no option given. We don't see any option given. You buy me out or I buy you out. We see it, something being insisted upon without options. We'll take a look at Rashi, lower part of the page. V'chozru Beis Hillel l'horos, taimo debet me tikun ha'olam. The reason for this taking place is because of the tikun ha'olam consideration. And that's why there is this buyout, whereby the slave buys out his portion. So we can say a little more accurately than we said before, there is a form of buyout over here. However, if not for that consideration, and this is a point we had not explained before, we didn't look at it, but that's why we're learning the Rashi. If not for the Pirya Viridya consideration, lo kaifinon lei, there would be no forcing. In other words, we would have maintained this joint relationship as before. For lo motzi eved lemeimar lei, okutz bedomim ve'etein loch bechelkecha. And we don't find the eved having been able to say, I'll set a value to my free half and buy me out. So true, there's a form of buyout taking place over here, but that's only because of the Pirya Viridya consideration. Without that, there would have been no buyout. So what about the din of gudo or good? The Gemara explains that in this case you don't even have a case of gudo or good to begin with. What does gudo or good suggest? It says either you buy me out or I buy you out. There's a balance of options. It's equal on both sides. You buy me out or I buy you out. Over here, shiny hocha, this case is different. The ogud iko, good leka. Where the eved, he could say, I'll buy out your holding, but the master cannot say, I'll buy out your holding. Let's explain that. What would that mean where the master says, I'll buy out your holding? What is your holding? The your holding is the Ben Chorin half. Now, Ben Chorin is a Jew. We know that a Jew, even if he's sold into slavery, there's a concept of Eved Ivri, but that's not something that's anything like an Eved Kanani, a regular Eved. The Eved Ivri works only for 6 years. So we are accustomed to saying that we have the term Ein Domim LeBen Chorin. There's no value placed upon a Ben Chorin. My understanding of that is, in this context, is there's no value of slave worthiness, because slave worthiness is an eternal enslavement, right? As opposed to a Eved Ivri or a Ben Chorin, that in the worst case scenario would be only working for 6 years. So there isn't this balance of options that the slave, the Chatzi Eved, could say to the master, you buy my holding out. Because my holding is a Ben Chorin status, and a Ben Chorin status has no domim, has no value that we can assign to it. So with this, we've deflected the kasha that was raised against Rav Yehuda. So we continue in the Gemara with the attempt to find sources that might support one of the two opinions, Rav Yehuda versus Rav Nachman. Toshma. Once again, we have a source, a Tanaic source. You can see the frame. It continues to the next Amud. We'll see a kasha being raised on Shitas Rav Yehuda. Toshma. Shnei achin, echad oni ve'echad oshir. One is poor and one is wealthy. V'hiniach le'navien merchatzu beis habad. Their father left for them, for these two brothers, a bathhouse and an olive press. Ason l'schar, if these two pieces of property were made for rental purposes, haschar liemsa, so they'll continue renting out the properties. People will pay for, if we talk about rental, it could be understood also as people use the properties and outsiders come to this bathhouse and pay a fee, and people bring their olives to this olive press and pay a fee for the services rendered. If that's the arrangement, if that's how the father was using it, he wasn't using it for personal benefit, but rather as a source of income. So the income arrangement will continue, and the monies will be divided between the two brothers. However, ason liatzmo, let's say the bathhouse was used by the father privately, never rented it out. And likewise, the olive press was used to press his own olives. Hare ha'oshir omer la'ani. The oshir will say to the ani, kach l'cho avodim v'yirchatzu b'merchatz. Get your slaves and have them warm up the bathhouse and wash there. Kach l'cho zeisim u'bov yase b'veis habad. Go bring your olives, go buy olives and press the olives for olive oil in the Beis Habad. In other words, we'll continue using it jointly. We don't see an arrangement of good or ogud over here. That would be a kasha on Rav Yehuda, who said that in situations of something jointly held and it's not divisible, so you can insist on good or ogud. Once again, the Gemara rejects this by telling us that you don't have the balanced situation where both parties can set the price. Hasam nami, in the case of the wealthy brother and the poor brother, good ika, ogud leka. We'll take a look at Rashi at the second line from the top. Ochanami good ika, ogud leka, she'en Ha'oni omer lo. The poor brother cannot say, O ani ekne chelkecha. That half of the equation doesn't exist, or I'll buy you out. She'ein lo bameh liknos. He doesn't have the wherewithal to buy out. Lefikach ein yochol lechufo. Therefore, the rich brother can't force, and the force the situation, I'll buy you out, you buy me out. And likewise, the poor brother, he obviously can't do that because he can't offer to buy out the rich brother. So it's a situation where the principle doesn't even get off the ground. Toshma. We now have a source, and you notice the triangle flipped over from its previous positioning. We'll now see Akasha on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had been of the opinion that less dina de gudo ogud. What happens here? The source says, "Kol she'ilu yichalek u'shmoi olov cholkin." If something, when divided, each subsection will have its original name and purpose, so they divide. Im lav, if not, meaning it's too small a unit to be divided, it says here, ma'alin oisoi bedomim. A financial arrangement is reached. We evaluate the value of the item. We place a value on it. What's the purpose of placing a value on the item? For its eventual sale. Either you buy it at my portion out, or I buy your portion out. That's good or all good. That's a problem then for Rav Nachman. To defend Rav Nachman, we suggest Tanoihi. The issue is a machlokas tanoim, and you notice there's a long point marking. It's called the nun is a nekuda, a long point. All of these lines are focused on bringing out the idea that Guru Agur is a machlokas tanoim. What's going to happen in the Gemara before we read inside, we'll see a Tanaic source that's presented. The Tanaic source on its literal level will be difficult to understand, and specifically will have difficulty understanding Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's position. After which the Gemara will restate the source, and at that point then we'll see the idea that Guru Ogud is a machlokis tanoim. It'll be very clear at that point. After that, after the long point marking, the Gemara will then offer a rejection. So let's see. Tanoihi, the Gemara says, Desanyo, Toil ato shiur vani pochois. Imagine a chotzer that does not have 8 amas to it. We said that in order for a chotzer to be divided, there has to be 8 amas, 4 amas for each party. So let's say you don't have 8 amas. And one of the owners says, one of the partners says, you take 4 amas, tola to shi'ur, you take 4 amas, and I'll take less. Right? Sounds like a nice guy. I'll take less. Shoymilo. Yeah, why not? He's an awful nice guy. We listen to him. Rabon Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, ein shoymin loy. The Gemara now asks, hey chidomi, I lemo kivitoni, if you take it at face value, as it's stated, my time of Shimon Leo. What could be the possible explanation from Shimon Leo that says we don't listen to this nice guy that's offering to take less? Elolav chisur mechasra vachi ko'omar. Rather, it must be that the source is of a terse nature, and thusly it should be understood. In the Shas Ozer, the pre-marked Gemara editions that we are using alongside this shiur, we treat restatements of Tanaic sources as if it's an actual Tanaic source, and we indicate that by the same frame as we do for regular sources. So the Gemara says, thusly it should be understood. Toil ato shi'ur vani pochois shoymin loy. If he wants to be a nice guy and take less, we'll listen to him. V'gud o ogud nami shoymin loy. If he isn't going to be that nice a guy, but still a reasonable gentleman, by saying either you buy me out or I buy you out, we will also listen to that. The also of Shimon Gamliel, the Meimar Ein Shoman Lo, of Shimon Gamliel, on the point of good or all good, would say, we don't accept that, but rather it would be maintained jointly. The fi shitas, as we saw, Rav Nachman had said earlier, so that we can now at this point parallel the Machlokis Amoroyim to the Machlokis Tanoim. That's called Tanoi. The Machlokis Amoroyim, we had Rav Yehuda saying that there is a din of good or all good, and that we have dashed underlined in this section, because that's the main phrase of importance to us. And Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says we wouldn't accept the good or all good agreement, that would parallel Rav Nachman, who said that there is no din of good or all good. The Gemara says no. Says lo. Li'oilom kidekotoni. In fact, this source has nothing to do with good or all good. So that if we were raising an objection previously on Rav Nachman. I should say more accurately, if we were trying to say, as we said previously, that the issue is a machlokes tanoim, the issue of good or ogud is a machlokes tanoim, that was a point that we brought in to defend Rav Nachman. We tried to defend him by saying he has something to be soimich on. We're now about to say, no, this source that we cited is not discussing good or ogud at all. If that be the case, then Rav Nachman would have lost his tanaic, his hopeful tanaic support. If that be the case, then how do we understand the source? So let's go on in the Gemara. Li'olam kidekatani. We're going to read the sources we did above literally, namely not without the hochikomar, the second framed attempt, but rather as we saw it originally. And then we raise the objection, so why in the world would Rav Shmuel Gamliel say we don't accept the offer of the nice guy? The guy said, I'll take less. You take the greater, you take the full amount, I'll take less. The answer is, Mishum the Omar Le, the fellow who would be getting the greater amount, can say as follows. You want me to take the full amount? So it was, let's say, a chotzer of 7 amas. So the offer had been, you take the 4, and I'll be a nice guy and take 3. So you want me to take the 4? E bedomi, if you expect me to take the 4 amas, the full amount, and compensate you for the additional amount that I'm receiving, let's say the half amma more that I'm receiving than had we divided it equally, less li domi lemeitan loch, I don't have money to give you. Ve'i b'matana, and if your intent is that I should get the full amount as a gift, lo nicholi, I don't like receiving gifts. Dechtiv, v'soinei matanos yichye, he who disdains gifts will live longer. I want long life, I don't want gifts. Omale Abaye the Rav Yosef, ha de Rav Yehuda, who held that there is a din of good or ogud, that the option to buy, one buys the other out, exists. Dishmuel hi. That's based on a teaching of Shmuel. We have in front of us, first of all, a long point. This is what Abaye's point is that Rav Yehuda's din of good or ogud is based on a teaching of Shmuel. And we also want to take a look at the side to see the nosei. We have written in Nisayon shel Abaye Lomar de Shitasel shel Rav Yehuda de Amrinon Gudo Ogud Hainu Shitas Shmuel. That's the topic at hand. In the Gemara, how do we see Shmuel holding likewise? This not. First, we have a Tanaic source upon which Shmuel will offer his commentary. V'kisvei HaKodesh, holy scrolls, afal pi sheshneim roitzim, even if both partners want to divide them, loy yachloiku. The Omar Shmuel, lo shanu, this din of not dividing is taught only ela bekerach echad, that it, the holy writings, the Kisvei HaKodesh, are in one scroll. Afal b'shnei krichos holkin, if you have Kisvei HaKodesh, they're in two separate scrolls. In one scroll, you have, let's say, for example's purposes, a Torah, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Torah scroll. And the second scroll contains the work of a prophet. It says, Shmuel says, Cholkin. And we're assuming here that this Cholkin, a very important assumption, is Cholkin even in a case where they don't both agree. Right? It's a case where only one wants to do this division, and we're also going to assume that these two scrolls are not of equal value.
We're going to take a look in Rashi. Chokin, about a third of the way down from the top, he says, Kosalka daitoch, de'afilu ein shnehem roitzim. Even if both, if you have a situation where you don't have agreement amongst them, only one wants to enter some type of division, and the ruling was Chokin, de'alkorchoch ein demehen shoven, these two scrolls are not of equal value. So we're not talking about a case you take one scroll and I take the other, because they're not of equal value. The e less dino de gudo ogud, if you don't have that din, heich hu kofehu, how can there be a forced division? Ze yomar, ani lo etain l'cho oidef hadomim, v'gam lo etain l'cho hayofe, sh'akabel mimcho domim. Whereas if you don't have the din of good or ugud, so the guy will say, one of them will say, I'm not going to give you, if you take the bigger one, the bigger scroll, the more valuable scroll, I'm not giving you the extra value. And likewise, I'm not giving you the better scroll in order for me to get financial compensation. So what must be the case over here? Must be, chokin would then be that you have these two scrolls, one of greater value, one of lesser value, and one of them is saying, I'll take the scroll of greater value and give you the financial difference, or you take the scroll of greater value and you give me the financial difference. So this would show us that there is a din of good or ogud. And who's speaking over here? Shmuel. And whom have we heard previously saying that? Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda is based on his Rebbe. Shmuel was a Rebbe of Rav Yehuda. That's why we said that Rav Yehuda was based on Shmuel. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'isalka daitoch les dino de gudo ogud. If you were to think that there's no din of good or ogud, my Yulio Bekerach Echod, why did the Tanaic source teach the din of Ein Chokin concerning only one scroll? Afilu Bishne Kochinami. You could have taught the din of Lo Yachloku in the case of two scrolls. Ella what? In the case of one scroll, there's no division because it's a bizoyon to cut the scroll in half. In the case of two scrolls, though, there is division. How can there be division of them? Just like we illustrated before, you buy out me. If I take the better one, so you will get from me compensation. Or if you take the better one, I will pay you the comp. If you take the better one, you'll pay me the compensation. That's good or all good. Giving options, one fellow presenting options. It would seem to me that, at least at this point, that we're not talking about one guy being rich and the other one being poor. And both could offer the option. Being that the case, one of them can force that agreement. That's called good or ugly. The Gemara pushes this off and says that the example of the scrolls doesn't conform to our sugya. Tir Gemara Rav Shalmon. This case of Kisvei HaKodesh, it says Afal Pi Sheshneihen Rotzim. It says Lo Yachloku is going on the case. I want to add, it's not just the Tanaic source, but Shmuel's comment. Shmuel's comment that said lo shonu. What did Shmuel say? That there's no division. Bekerach echad. But b'shnei krichos chokin. Shmuel's comment was not in a situation of only one wanting, but Shmuel's comment was made in the case that both want to divide. So what is Shmuel telling us? If it's one scroll, even though they both want to divide, there's no division. However, if there are two scrolls, and they both want to divide, then they can enter some kind of agreement. That's not the sugya that we're dealing with. The sugya of good or ugud is a sugya where only one is interested in entering the agreement, and the other is insisting on maintaining the joint holding. So this case, as Rav Shalman explained, that the din of Shmuel is going in the case of Shnehem Rotzim, and that's not our sugya. Our sugya being one of where only one wanted to enter this agreement. Omar Amemar, Hilchasa, is dina de good o ogud. Meimar then would be paskening like Rav Yehuda. Omale Rav Ashi la Meimar, or the Rav Nachmon Mai. What about Rav Nachmon's position that there is no din of good o ogud? Omale lo shmi ali, kloma lo svirali. He says, and we have this expression also, some people use the expression, I don't hear it. That expression really is saying, I don't hold from it. And that's what you see here in the Aramaic as well. Lo shmili, I don't hear it, meaning I don't agree with it. The Gemara asks, Velo? You mean that we're not going to accept the ruling of Rav Nachman? What about the following? Teha Rava Bar Chinina. And before we go on, note there's a long question. The Kuf is a Kushya. All of these lines are designed to build up the question. Teha Rava Bar Chinina of Rav Dimi Bar Chinina. Shavak Luhu Avuha Tarti Amasa. These two brothers received as an inheritance two maidservants. Chada yodo afyo bishuli, the chada yodo pilcho venavlo. One knew baking and cooking, the other one was talented in spinning wool and weaving garments. The osu lekame de rova. They have these two brothers, two maidservants, each one with different skills. The omar lehu, and Rova said, les dina de good o agud. Rashi says, "Les dino de gudo ogud la chufo la seis de me haodfin bayofa velo limkor chalko." There is no din of one being able to force the other to accept the value, the extra value of the one of these two maid servants, and rather, Rava is saying, they will remain in the service of both of you. The Gemara rejects this. Shiny Hossam. The Lamor Miboyale Travayu. Ulamor Miboyale Travayu. The reason there's no division here is because each brother needs both of the maidservants. Ki ka'omar le shkoil at chado v'ana chado, when he would say, you take one and I take one, lav gud o ogud hu. It's not like a case of, it wouldn't be a case of gud o ogud. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Lav gud o ogud E lo omar le o kach shtehen o ekach shtehen the chol achas ein bo kedei leechod. Either you take both or I take both, and if that can't be said, so then it's not a case of good or ogud. In effect, taking one is called ein bo kedei lechod. It's insufficient for one of them. The Gemara asks, but what about the discussion we had just before? V'ha kisvei hakodesh, d'travayhu mibaya lehu. You have the scrolls, and each party needs both scrolls. We can say that the Torah scroll and the Novi scroll are to be paralleled, in our case, to the, you have the culinary maidservant, then you have the fabric maidservant. Two different items. And the Omar Shmuel, and regarding the case of the Kisvei HaKodesh, he said, Lo Shanu Elo Bekerach Echad. There's no forced division in the case of one scroll. Avo Bishnei Krichen Cholkin. But in the case of two scrolls, two, and they, we said of different natures, there could be forced division. I'm emphasizing the forced division. That is the sugi of good or ogud. So how can you say that the Rava teaching shows us that there is no din of good or ogud, where we saw in the case of Shmuel, who's considered a major authority, that said there would be a din of good or ogud? The Gemara answers, Hotir Gemara Rav Shalmon. We had already seen Rav Shalmon deflect that illustration above, Bishishnehem Reitzim. The case of the scroll division, where you have two scrolls, two different scrolls divided amongst the two parties, is they both agreed to that arrangement. That's not the sugya of good or ogud. The sugya of good or ogud is where one takes the control, offering the options. At this point, the sugya of good or ogud comes to a conclusion, but since we are involved with holy scrolls, we thereby enter a new major sugya. This, in fact, could be categorized as a nosei klali, a general topic that will last until Pes Vovom and Aleph. And we can call it, as we've noted on the side, Inyonim Hakshurim L'Sifrei Tanakh. These are matters that are connected to the holy writings. Torah Nevi'im U'Ksuvim. The truth is that this sugya of Tanakh is going to spill over into another long sugya on Tes Vav Amid Aleph. The Gemara there will discuss Iyov, who's in the Sifrei Ksuvim, the book of Iyov, some know him as the book of Job, that sugya will last till Tes Zayin Amud Beis. So in effect, we have from here, from Yud Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom, till Tes Zayin Amud Beis, a massive piece of Gemara dealing with the scriptures, dealing with the with things found in the Tanakh. The way I subdivided it was that until Tes Vav and Aleph, we'll be dealing with the scrolls of Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, and then from Tes Vav till Tes Zayin Amud Beis, we'll be focusing on Iyov. Before we go on, we'll take advantage of the nosei that we have noted here. Point one: Chibur shel Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim b'kricho achas o b'kama krichos. How about creating a scroll of Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim in one scroll, or maybe not? Point two: Kama shurot rekot mashirim bein sefer l'sefer. When you have a scroll that contains in it several books, how many lines must be left empty, a gap between sefer and sefer, before you start, you finish one sefer, leave a few lines unwritten, and then start the next sefer. Many of us who have seen Torah scrolls have noticed that at the end of one sefer, at the end of when you finish Sefer Gracious, and you will start Sefer Shmos, there's a gap. And that's the issue that the Gemara will deal with here. And a third point, Kamo Mashirim B'Tchila U'B'Sofo Shel Sefer. We just at point two discussed between two books. What about before you start writing a book, or when you conclude a book? In the Gemara, we now see a Taneg source. As you can see, it's framed, going down to almost the end of the Omid, till three lines from the end. Tana Rabbanan, Matbik Adam Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim Ke'echad. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that you can attach Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim into one scroll. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Torah b'fnei atzmon, Nevi'im b'fnei atzmon, Uksuvim b'fnei atzmon. Rabbi Yehuda says that they must remain separate. V'chachomim Omrim, kol echod ve'echod b'fnei atzmo. That each prophet, if you have Yeshaya, you have Yirmiyo, you have Yecheskel, etc., each prophet must be separate. And likewise with the Ksuvim, each one of the book of Ksuvim must have its be written in its own scroll. The Omar Rebbe Yehuda, the Rashash comments that this should be with a Yud, the term at the end of the line, Rav should be Rebbe Yehuda. It would be continuation of the source as such. The Omar Rebbe Yehuda, Maise Bebaitus Ben Zunin, Shoyu Lo Shmoine Nevi'im Medubokin Ke'echod, Alpi Rebbe Elozer Ben Azariah. He had all of the Sifrei Nevi'im in one scroll. That would be in conforming to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachomim omrim, lo hoyu lo elo echod echod b'fnei atzmo. They don't accept the version of Rabbi Yehuda, of course, was an interested party to bring evidence to his position. The Chachomim disagree and said, no, the story with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was not like you're saying, but rather each prophet was separate. Omar Rebbe, Maisa v'hevio lefonenu teru nevim uksuvim medubokim ke'echod v'hichsharnum. The event happened that they brought a scroll containing all of the works bound in one scroll, and we said it's kosher. Period. Bein chumash lechumash shel Torah, between each book of the Torah, you have the five books of the Torah, the chamisha chumshei Torah, between each one, arbo shitin, four lines must be left unwritten. V'chein bein kol novi v'novi. Likewise, bein kol novi l'novi, likewise, a gap left of four lines. Ubenovi shel shnei mosar, the book known as Trei Osar, Gimel Shitin, three lines. Umesayim milamato umaschil milamalo. To appreciate this point, let's take a look at Rashi, where you see the double asterisk in our Shas Ozir edition. Umesayim milamato umaschil milamalo im nizdamein lo siyum hasefer milamata besof hadaf. As many of you probably know, these holy works are written in column form, column after column. If the Sefer that was being written ended at the bottom of the column, and you reach the last line of writing at the bottom of the column, after that, of course, there's a margin that's left that we're not discussing right now. That's a separate discussion. But you reach the bottom of the column. Maschil sifro ha'achir b'roish hadaf. The next sefer starts at the top of the next column. V'einu tzorich laniach reva cholok b'neihem. There's no need for leaving empty lines. With that, we have concluded our shiur for today.